All right. Make a few announcements and then I'll jump right into preaching. My favorite time of the service. Amen. Anyway, I better hush. Good singing this morning. I enjoyed both the songs. And we truly are sheltered in the arms of God. I was thinking about the Sunday school lesson this morning and then the message today. To me, it all correlates in my mind, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God is able, and He's able to take care of those that are His children, and regardless what's going on in the world. And sometimes I think the thing that is we're most dangerous, the most dangerous position to be in is the people that is lulled to sleep by being comfortable. And we are a nation that has become comfortable, and not only as a nation, but many Christians have become comfortable. And we think that somehow that all this stuff we read about in the past, that in places we read in other worlds, the troubles and the heartaches Christians go through, the persecutions and the persecuted past, then we're immune to them. We'll never see those days. Man, we may be exposed to them greatly here in the near future. Maybe. And so sometimes I think we think that won't happen. Well, I don't believe God wants us to run around scared or fearful. It may happen, but I believe the God that gave grace to the saints of old will give grace to us when the time comes, when the time is right. And because God is faithful. He has been faithful in every situation in my life. I don't want to start doubting Him now. Let me make a few announcements. The Ambassadors, Brother Fields' team, is responsible for the visitation this week. I'll get with you. There's some things that I may join up with you, Brother Field, and help out. Because football camp, various things threw me behind last week, but we will definitely get with you on that. Next Saturday, Brother Phil, if you want to smoke a bunch of meat for the church anniversary, if we celebrate our church anniversary, or homecoming, whatever you want to call it, they're going to be here about 7 o'clock, and I think they're going to have some meat cutting up party. Is that right? You're going to cut up some meat about 7 o'clock, set up tables and everything, get it ready for homecoming, maybe cornhole, maybe whatever else we can get into. We'll have a good time. So we'll send that out as an announcement as well. But remember, next Sunday will be church homecoming. Now, tonight we are celebrating Youth Sunday. And what we're going to do, we're going to have Vacation Bible School pictures. Some of you didn't make the commencement of Vacation Bible School, plus also church camp. They're going to have pictures of church camp here that you can see. If you have pictures, you need to be getting those Wendy's, or is it too late, Miss Wendy? If they can get pictures church camp to her, that will just be wonderful. So a lot of things coming up. Back to school, I know you children don't want to think about that, but it's just around the corner. As parents are like, amen. The teachers have done. They said, "Give me an aspirin, pass the Tylenol, something." But we are. No, I enjoy having my children home, especially when I can make them do work for me. That's good. Have your Bibles. Once you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 58, the Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Notice that. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful that we have it in this day and age in which we live. Lord, there seems to be trouble on every hand, every direction. Every time we turn on the news, something tragic, something awful is going on, something ugly is happening all around the world. There's division, there's fighting, there's arguing, there's bickering. And God, we look around and we wonder what is happening. And I believe it's a direct result of man's rebellion against your word and your hand of influence being removed upon the hearts and the lives of a nation. We see the direction that we're going. God, if there's anything we can do today, we need to, as your people, to just continue to be steadfast, continue to be faithful, always abounding in the work, God, that you have for us. Regardless what's happening, help us not to be influenced, and help us not to quit,
because of what's happening in our surroundings. Help us to be faithful to what You've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach on an unmovable hope this morning. An unmovable hope. 1 Corinthians 15 is a wonderful book. The city of Corinth, and especially the church of Corinth, had its share of problems. The church had divisions. The church had open sin in it. It was being tolerated. It had false doctrine. They had some strange practices going on. They had some practice going on with the Lord's Supper that was just downright despicable. And God despised those sins. And so Paul wrote this book to kind of address many of those situations. And in fact, he said, I hear that there are fightings and contentions among you, and I partly believe it. I don't believe Paul I believe it's just being nice. Paul knew that it was true. He knew it was so. He knew that they was arguing and they was fussing and they was fighting. And so what he was trying to do was bring them back in line by writing 1 Corinthians. He wanted to bring them back into what simple, orthodox behavior, things that was expected of Christians. Basic Christianity. Paul wanted to line them out and bring them back to the place that they needed to be. And in this chapter before us, it was amazing as some of the things that they had to deal with, even doctrinally, in the book of 1 Corinthians. But you'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that there was even a perversion about the resurrection. They were those that claimed that the resurrection wasn't so, that there was no resurrection from the dead. And so Paul spent a great length of time defending the resurrection and defending his position of the hope that we have. And so, man, what an awesome chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is. It ought to be a chapter that ought to make Baptists want to get up and run and shout. Amen? Everybody that names the name of Christ ought to rejoice in what we find in 1 Corinthians 15. Nowhere else in the Bible can we find such clear statements concerning the death and resurrection of the believers and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Nowhere else in the Bible. And so, man, Paul concludes all those thoughts with everything he says that's going on around. There's trouble in the church. There's fighting. There's bickering. There's arguing. There's false doctrine. There's false teaching. And there's people that's got problems. There's people got some unethical behaviors. There's people that's fighting amongst themselves, suing people outside the church, or their church members fighting. He said it was awful. But in everything Paul sums up, when he gets through teaching about the hope of Jesus Christ returning for His saints, he says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, man, I like it, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why was that? Because the hope of Jesus' return trumps any trouble, any heartache, any problem that we can face here on earth. And He ought to just keep us moving forward. We ought to just keep moving forward. And so, man, this is the hope we enjoy as our children, as the children of God. And so, looking around the world today, we can conclude that there's not much room for hope. I mean, you just think about it. You turn on the TVs, the plane's been shot down in Ukraine, and they're arguing who done it. And is it the pro-separatist group? Is it Putin? Who done it? Then just a few seconds later, you see that Israel is sending their soldiers in and into some areas to root out Hamas and into the West Bank and so forth. And there's people that it's amazing to me how they get upset and say, oh, they shouldn't do that, shouldn't do that. Listen, if somebody's shooting missiles at my children, I'm going after them. Amen? With everything I have. They're a lot more restrained. Now, I would call somebody and say, I'm getting ready to drop a bomb next to your house. I just drop a bomb. You shoot a bomb at my house, I'm shooting one back. If I got one bigger, I'm shooting one bigger back. Amen? That's my logic. The biggest one I can get, by the way. And so, you turn it on, it's there. We turn it on, there's political fighting. There's people flooding across their borders. And at times it seems that some of our political leaders are tyrants rather than leaders. Say amen. And so we stand back and say, what in the world is going on? This world's messed up. There's nothing left for our children. Wait a minute. It was a mess in Paul's day. It was a mess. It was a mess. And Paul told the children of God that was at Corinth, if he could say anything, he said, my beloved children, my beloved brethren, the saints that are there, be as steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know your labor is not in vain Man, I want you to understand what Paul had to say there. It gives hope in spite of everything that's going on around the world. I don't care how dark, I don't care how depraved, and I don't care how wicked this world and the culture is, and everything seems to be anti-God. Listen to me, God's still God, and God's still on His throne. Amen. Thank God. Now, I want you to understand, we are, so you people look at me and say, what's the use, preacher? May I say to you, we have an absolute, unmovable hope in the person of Jesus Christ that He is coming again. We're a people of hope. Man, we're a people that possess great hope. Your Bible says here, therefore, my beloved brethren, He's speaking to those that are the children of God, to those that was in the city of Corinth, those that knew the Lord, the saints of God. He says to them, He says, listen, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. That's the people of hope, people that have been delivered by grace. You'll find in the first 10 chapters of the book of Romans something interesting here, or first 10 verses of chapter 15. And Paul says, moreover, brethren, in verse number 1, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, that you've also received. But notice this, where you stand. These were the people that had received the grace of God. The people of hope were the people that had experienced the gracious hand of God bringing them to salvation. You say, what are you saying? You look here in the Word of God and you say, I preached unto you which you have received, and where you stand. You know where my position is today? Where my hope is? It's in the gospel of Jesus Christ and nothing else. Him alone. Amen. That's my hope. They were people that had been delivered by God's grace. You'll find in verse 10, by the grace of God, Paul says, I am what I am. In verses 1 through 10, Paul lays out what the gospel is. And he tells you how Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and He rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. May I say, He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm nothing today if it hadn't been for God's grace. Man, he understood. That's where he was positionally. Then these people of hope, listen to me, they were a people who had been delivered by grace, but they're also, listen to this, they're a people that's destined for glory. A people that's not only been delivered by grace, but a people that's destined for glory. You said, Brother Grant, what are you talking about? Well, you look with me in the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you're going to see, look at verse 49. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to skip on down. Look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You know what he says? Not all of us are going to die, but all of us are going to be changed. That's what he said. He says, listen to this, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and what? The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Let me tell you, the trumpet of God is going to sound one day. The dead are going to get up out of the grave, and we that are alive are going to be changed, just like in a flash. Amen? Man, I want to tell you this. We've got a hope that's beyond this world. And he says this, for the corruptible must put on incorruption. Guess what? I got news for you. I don't care how wonderful you think you are and how pretty you are, you're corrupt. Amen? This corruption is going to change into something immortal. And it says, must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. I love it, because you know what I believe we're going to hear one day? I believe we're going to hear the saints of old. They're going to stand there and say, oh, death, where is thy sting? I believe those that miss death and miss the grave, that's what we're going to say. We're going to say, Brother Gary, oh, death, where is your sting? You didn't get me. Those saints that died 50 years ago, those saints that died 10 years ago, or last year, or 1,000 years ago, listen to me. They're going to say, oh, grave, where's your victory? Guess what? We can take you out here to the first preacher, his gravestone out there, him and his wife. The grave thinks he has victory over him, but one day, the trump of God's going to sound, and listen to me, he's going to get up out of that grave, amen. Amen. Thank God, and be victorious over the grave, and grave will lose its victory. You say, what are you saying to me? We are a people of hope. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. Why? Because we're a people that's been delivered by God's grace. We're a people that's destined to God's glory. The Bible says the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you today, listen to me. I don't care how wicked and sorry and ornery this world gets. We're on the winning side. Amen. And I love winning. Amen. Beats losing. Dumbest thing in the world. Let's play. It don't matter if we win or lose. Do what? Put two snails racing. I'm going to root for one of them to win. Amen. Why race? Why race? You know? You know you've done it. Your kids went and played t-ball. We're not going to keep score because we don't want anybody to get their feelings hurt. You know there's that mama, keep score. There's that daddy, keep score. And don't act like you didn't keep score. Amen? Huh? You might have lost count of the score, but you was keeping score. Man, I mean, we played upward basketball. Upward's great for ministry. It's horrible for teaching basketball. Amen. Some of you are looking. And what I remember the kids were playing. I wanted to know. I knew where they was at. Amen. You thought, oh, they don't keep score, little bitty fellas. Listen, when they ain't threw it in the basket and other teams put it in there 50 times, they know they got their head thumped. Amen. And it don't really help them either way. Come on, you did great. Well, they said that team did a whole lot greater than we did. Amen. And so you say, what are you saying? I'm for winning. Listen, I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Amen. I hate losing. I can lose a pickup game of basketball with Hulk and a bunch of guys and lose sleep over it. Amen. And I know he does. Because he gets hateful as an old cantankerous woman. Amen. Y'all played with him, know what I'm talking about, right? You say, what are you saying? I'm just telling you, I hate losing. Listen, I'm going to tell you, we're on the winning side. Man, we got reason to hope. When I know I'm on the winning side, I'm happy. I'm glad I have hope. The prospects of this world, there's not much hope. But I want to tell you, in the person of Jesus Christ, there's hope. I got to get moving. That man, I got hung up there. Let me say this. Not only do we see this in the Word of God, we're the people of hope, but notice the power of hope. The Bible, man, it tells us several things. The Bible says, therefore, it draws us our mind back. In verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, everything that God has said in the previous verses, everything, it draws our mind back to that. I want you to understand, He is telling us the hope we possess is the motivator for spiritual action. Being saved, being secure, being sure that we're saved doesn't cause us to set back on our blessed assurance and do anything and wait for the Lord to return. You know what it does? It causes us to get active. Well, because we're not fearful of what will happen because we know we're on the winning side. We know it turns out good. Why? So we must just get after it. Man, I want you to understand, knowing about the truth that Jesus Christ is coming back ought to affect our behavior and everything we do. Everything that we do for Him, the hope that we have causes us to be stable. The word steadfast, notice this, it means to be settled and firmly situated. Man, I want you to understand, I don't have to worry about there's some things because I know Jesus Christ is coming back. I'm firmly and I'm settled and I'm situated in that I don't have to apologize for. Man, we ought to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God and without apology say, here's where we stand. The Word says, well, what you believe is not popular. It don't matter to me. I'm steadfast in this, that God's Word is still God's Word. Amen. Amen. I don't care what the evolutionists say. I don't care what the homosexual crowd says. I don't care what the perverted people and the thinking of politics says today. God's Word is still God's Word. Right still right, wrong still wrong. A man supposedly still yet supposed to be a man. A woman supposedly supposed to yet be a woman. Man, I want you to understand, if we have hope, if we lose hope, we might waver, we might falter, we might want to quit. But if you have hope, listen to me, it gives you strength to go on. There's ramifications there when you know you're on the winning side. And Paul said, be steadfast. I want to be steadfast. We ought to be stable. Hope also causes us to be stubborn. Amen. There's some things we ought to be stubborn about. Now, notice what he says, be steadfast and unmovable. Now, I know you all know what stubborn means. I don't need to define it for you. But he says you be unmovable. There's some things we ought to be stubborn about. There's some things that we ought to be firmly situated in. There's some things that we ought to be firmly persistent in. Man, I want you to understand, most things in life, being stubborn is not a good trait, but in the Lord's work, we need a good dose of being bullheaded in what God has said to do. Be steadfast, unmovable. Be stubborn in the things of God. I like it. But not only that, we're to be strong, always abounding. That word abounding means exceedingly fixed, an exceeding fixed amount. In other words, something that's beyond the amount that you're supposed to give. Now, he says, be steadfast, unmovable, always what? Abounding. You ought to always be doing more than what you think you ought to be doing. Why? Because you have hope, not in this world, not in the thing, my hope is not in Congress, my hope is not, listen to me, in the Senate, my hope is not in the White House or President Obama or Rand Paul, listen to me, my hope is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Man, that's who I got my hope in. And so, guess what? I'm going to be stubborn. The Word of God is still the Word of God. I'm going to be stable. I'm going to be steadfast. Here I am firmly situated in what the Bible says. But I'm going to be, listen to me, just as stubborn as possible, but strong, always abounding. You know what that means? The Bible says here, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. We ought to be busy doing more than what God requires of us in the work of the Lord. Why? Because we have hope. Man, I'm thankful we have hope in this world, because this world would be a miserable place. And so, what he's saying here, here's the power of this hope. He causes us, we're stable. Then you see some people, their positions in life changes from week to week. Some people, listen to me, they're like every wind of doctrine that comes along. But the Bible says here that we ought to be unmovable. And there's some people, they're in and out of the work. Sometimes they're doing humanitarian things. Sometimes they're doing nice things. Sometimes they're in the church doing things for the Lord. But if you know your hope, listen to me, you ought to always be abounding in the work of the Lord, doing more than's necessary. And so, you say, what are you saying? Now I want you to notice, thirdly, the promise of this hope. In this life, if this life is all there is, we are miserable. In fact, Paul said that in this chapter. Do you realize that? Here's what Paul said. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse number 19, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men what? Most miserable. That's what he said. That's what he said. We are of all men most miserable. Now think about that. Wouldn't it be, listen, I'm talking about not only the power of this hope, but the promise of this hope. You see, in this chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, remember it talks about how people were saved by the grace of God in verses 1 through 10. In verse 11, there was a perversion. Somebody started saying, the resurrection's not real, the resurrection's not happened. Paul addresses it, and he gives several hypotheticals. He says, if Christ is not raised from the dead, how can we even be telling people that Jesus raised from the dead if there's no resurrection? If there be no resurrection, the preaching that we're doing is foolish. He said that our faith is also vain. He says, and guess what? And we are found false witnesses of God. He said, because we told people that Jesus raised from the dead, and Jesus not raised from the dead, you're yet in your sins, you're not saved, you're lost, you're destined to hell. And all those people that we love, that love Jesus Christ, when they died, listen to me, there's no hope for them either. They're in hell yet today. And he said, guess what? If only in this life we have hope, we're miserable. Man, that's pretty good preaching right there, I think. Not by me, but by Paul. He said, if this life only we have hope, we're most miserable. Listen to me, here's the promise we have. You see, if there's no hope for eternity, if there's no second coming, there's no possibility of a resurrection, all we got to look forward to is the grave. All we got to look forward to is what the government can hand out to us. Man, it got quiet then, didn't it? You want me to tell you why? Because we would be miserable. We'd be miserable if that is it. But you see, Paul says, notice this, Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 again, notice what he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know. As much as you know. You know what that is? That's confidence. That's confidence that Jesus is coming again. You see, our work for the Lord matters. Listen to this preacher this morning. There's no sacrifice. There's no struggle. There's no self-denial. There's no valley. There's no mountain. There's no heartache. There's no grief that's so awful that we ought to just lay down and quit serving Jesus. Because I got news for you. The payment in the end is going to be well worth it. There's no song that says it'll be worth it after a while, child. And I got news for you, so it will be. It will be worth it after a while. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, there's confidence. As much as you know that your labor is not in vain. It's not an exercise of futility. What we do for God is not wasted. What we're doing trying to serve Him, go to church, send money to missionaries, send people to camp to hear the gospel, or witnessing, or passing out tracts, or passing out a water bottle, inviting somebody to church, listen to me. It's not wasted. God's taking note of every single thing that we do. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that He knows. Let me say to you, not only does it give us confidence, He said, you know, but ultimately, notice this, I don't have to lick my fingers. Have you ever got to the place that your paper just don't want to obey you? Not only does it give us confidence, it gives us hope. It gives us consolation. You see, when we work, life gets hard. We work, sometimes we just want to lay down. But notice this, bow for as much you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our burdens can be to a place sometimes that we don't even want to get up out of the bed. You ever been there? You ever got to a place you didn't even want to face today? The Bible speaks here, for as much you know that your labor, you know what the word labor means? To work with intense toil. It means to bring about pain and agony. That means to work pretty hard. And you know what? Sometimes our work for God is just that way. Sometimes it is difficult. Sometimes it seems like nobody's paying attention. Sometimes you think, man, God, I just want to throw in the towel. I just want to quit. You know what a boxer does? He starts getting whooped. The rounds aren't easy and the punches keep flowing and he can't find a way to land anything. Can't find a way to protect himself. You know what? He wants somebody. Everyone's just think, man, if he threw in the towel, he'd be good. I got news for you. There's no retreat in the Christian life. We can't have somebody throw in the towel. Our hope gives us consolation. Know that your labor, your intense work, and the hardness and the dedication that you go through, the trouble, the toil, everything that may bring about pain and agony, guess what? It's not in vain. It's not useless in the Lord. Man, I got news for you. God has a great purpose for everything that we do for Him. Listen to me. One day we'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," if we continue on. He says, listen, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee ruler over many things. What? Enter into the joy of the Lord. What better thing can we hear than that in this world? Now, there was problems in Corinth. There's problems at Mount Hebron. You know it? I want to shock some of you. We had problems here from time to time. Sometimes we have bad attitudes. Sometimes we got things we got to deal with. Sometimes it's spiritual issues. Sometimes it's moral issues. Not news for that's no fun. That's no fun as a pastor or some leadership in this church or some men. We have to confront some people with about improper behaviors and talk to them about that. That's not fun. Sometimes as a preacher, guess what? I have to take positions that's not going to create a lot of fanfare for Brother Grant. Huh? Can you imagine that? Everybody don't like it. I learned a long time ago, I didn't get in this ministry to find out how many people I could like. In fact, preachers that do that make me sick. But you notice what he said right here? He says, what we do for the Lord, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding. You just be steady. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. And when people are a little riled, people are a little upset, you know what I do? I just say, God, I'm doing what you want me to do, and I'm going to be faithful, I'm going to be steadfast, and let God take care of it. Listen to me, I got news for you. Sometimes you go through your personal walk with God, it seems like everything's coming in around you, everything's difficult, people don't like you, people are not making life easy for you, you just want to quit. You know what Paul says? Paul wrote to us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be a steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Man, I don't care what's going on in the world. I don't care how difficult the world is. I don't care how scary the world is. I don't care how ugly the world gets. I don't care how sinful the world gets. Listen to me. Be a steadfast. Be unmovable. Be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because you know that your labor's not in vain. There's coming a day. God's going to reward all those that remain faithful to Him.
Amen.
Man, I don't know about you, but that makes me want to get up and run today. Study. I'm about done. Talked about those men went in Massachusetts, preached the gospel to a fellow who got invited from Providence, Rhode Island, went back. Obadiah Holmes, Dr. John Clark, and they whooped Obadiah Holmes to his blood, filled up in his shoes and filled his boot up, and they had to pour it out. You know what he did? He kept preaching the gospel for year after year after year. People got saved. You find men that got persecuted and thrown in jail for preaching without a license in Virginia. They just kept preaching. You know what? We're reaping the benefits of what they went through. Man, it wasn't easy for them. You go back and study the persecutions of the past of these saints. It was terrible. But you know what they clung to? They clung to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know your labor is not in vain. You know what it is? We're the fruits of their labors today. You know what we got to do? We got to continue to hold the bloodstained banner of King Jesus up high. For the generations to come. I don't care how dark, I don't care how scary. Let's keep being what God has called us to be. Because we have an unmovable hope this morning. Father, I thank You for the Word of God. I'm thankful it's still yet real. I'm thankful. I don't have to apologize this morning for saying that Jesus is Lord, and He's Lord of all. Lord, I'm thankful today that I can stand here and preach without worry someone kicking in the door coming for me just because I've preached fundamental truths from the Word of God. But there may come a day. If that day comes, may we be found faithful. May we be found steady. May we be found unmovable. May we be unshakable in God what You have called us to be. God, help us to realize today that we have hope, and that hope ought to give us strength and courage to face tomorrow. Lord, we love You. And I pray, God, today this message has been a help to encourage someone to continue to stand. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand up.